Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President.
December 1st, that major case out of Mississippi, the Dobbs case, that essentially bans most abortions after 15 weeks. That one is going to be heard on the substance. Forget the procedure. It is here on the merits now. And that is the one where supporters of the Mississippi law are asking for Roe v. Wade to be overturned, mm-hmm. and they want this to be the vehicle to do it. Expect a very busy, very heated day from the court December 1st.
Fox News legal correspondent Shannon Bream there outlining just how high the stakes will be next week when the Supreme Court hears arguments on a Mississippi abortion law. Now, the case directly targets the Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized abortion. Earlier this month, justices heard challenges to the Texas law banning abortion at about 6 weeks of pregnancy. They have not yet ruled on that. Let's bring in Carrie Severino.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is a big week. Zach Arscati coming to you live from North Carolina. And I want to play that clip because this is the week we've talked about it before. We've paid attention to it, that the Mississippi abortion case will be heard before the Supreme Court on December 1st. This is huge. This comes around once, looks like every 30 years. It could have been overturned in the late 90s, but due to circumstances, it wasn't. We're not here to argue about that, to gripe about that. We are here to stand on the wall, to pray for life. And in this case, this golden court case here, that will completely, if ruled what we believe here, based upon constitutionality and biblical moral values, which this nation was founded upon, will change the foundations of this nation and will completely shift what this nation looks like in the days ahead. If ruled via constitutional guidelines. So that starts this week. Do not be surprised to hear slander from those who oppose this. And understand this, there are believers who think that abortion is a quote-unquote natural right that women should have. And look, we're not here to condemn anyone who has had an abortion. Some people have made that decision. We are here to say, look, if you have, repent. But in the days ahead, we don't want this to be something that we continue to just freely allow. If you know, we're saying we stand for life, we stand for biblical moral values. This is a stance we're going to take. So it's as simple as that on this issue. We're going to pray for this. This is going to be a huge prayer point this week as we get closer and closer. We'll see what is out there in the news, but ultimately at the end of the day, look, we want to repent for the murder of the innocent children, babies, up until this point. We want to intercede for God's will to be done and carried out through this Mississippi case and also through the Texas case, that have not been ruled down upon. The analysis is that the Mississippi case has more of a precedent than the Texas case, and they ultimately may combine them and come up with a ruling on them once both cases have been argued. So that is what is there in the days ahead. And ultimately, it's going to come down to who's actually going to stand on the side of constitutionality. Or is the media pressure going to get to them? So we're going to need to pray for the judges, the lawyers arguing the case, the lawyers arguing against it, the people who support the judges, their support staff. Everybody involved is going to need prayer on this in the days ahead, because if we've seen anything that happened the last time this was argued, let's go back to the nominations of Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, of the battle that was on them for this moment right now. That's why that battle was so contentious, is because the enemy knew that this was coming. They knew that they could not have them in there. Now, they still have to rule and have the fear of the Lord to rule properly. And that's what we want to pray. We want to pray they have the fear of the Lord to rule on the side of life in the days ahead. Okay. I think that one's pretty fair and clear on where we need to stand. Again, hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We're glad to be back. And today is just another day where it's meaty. This week is very meaty. A lot of, especially towards the end of this year, a lot of things that are going to try to happen and be passed, because they understand, the enemy understands, the spirits understand the timeline that is happening. Yes, let's pray that they have dreams. And look, they may be too mentally exhausted to have dreams and remember their dreams, but hey, as long as they have the fear of the Lord, some of them say they're believers. I pray that's the case, and I pray they stand on those biblical moral values that they've been taught and learned through their whole life. But in the days ahead, this is something, because the Mississippi case goes directly against the Roe v. Wade case, which any lawyer will tell you was ruled incorrectly. Now, I want to move on to this next phase, next story. Excuse me. And this has to deal with the new COVID variant. And so I want to lay some groundwork. You've probably heard this, but in order to put my case out there and why we're praying for this, I want to put some things out there, because we really need to understand what is going on. I guess you could say behind closed doors, but what is really going on? What is really being argued? So we can understand the spiritual battle behind this, because this is not just a intellectual argument. We can see this is a spiritual battle. And so I want to play this clip. I'm going to play several clips, but this is the first one I want to play. And this is from the doctor in South Africa who has firsthand knowledge on this new variant.
The overall patients that was recorded yesterday was 3,000 and around about 3,700. So our positivity rate is 9.2%. It is more than we would have loved it to be. But looking at the mildness of the symptoms that we are seeing, currently there is no reason for panicking, as we don't see severely ill patients.
Let's pause. So she's saying, look, the infectious rate, whatever, the cases that they have are higher than they would like. But the symptoms they're seeing are mild. Now listen to what she's about to say next.
We see with this one is, again, it started, normally it will always start with your younger people. So it started with the younger generation, 40 and less. And the most predominant clinical complaint is severe fatigue for 1 or 2 days, with then the headache and the body aches and pain. Some of them will have what they call a scratchy throat, and some will have a cough, a dry cough, but it's not a constant cough. It comes and go. And that's more or less the big symptoms that we have seen.
Okay. So from someone who has seen this new variant from people directly, it's mild, scratchy throat is what she says, and it comes and goes, and it's over. It's very mild. It starts in younger people. As of today, they haven't really seen that many in older people, how it affects them. Hasn't determined whether how it affects those who have the shot or don't have the shot. But I want to play that, because this is the news that's coming out of it. Now, the Biden administration made its decision to shut travel down. Other nations have done the same thing. Okay, that's where we're at. So I want to continue laying this groundwork. Now, we're seeing an interesting standpoint from this current administration on how they want to handle this scenario. And I want to play this clip from Fauci this weekend when asked about if more lockdowns would come.
More lockdowns again, new lockdowns, more mandates?
You know, I don't know, George. It's really too early to say. We just really need to, as I've said so often, prepare for the worst. And it may not be that we're going to have to go the route that people are saying.
Okay, now that line of statement right there is scientific. If you're going to look at how we need to rule on this, what needs to actually happen, then that is how you should rule and not jump to conclusions. And the Biden administration, it is being reported now, coming out, is that they are going to wait 2 weeks. And this is what they said on Sunday. They said they're going to wait 2 weeks. They're going to have meetings. They're going to try to understand what's coming out of the WHO and really determine what steps need to be taken moving forward for the economy, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that is the basic response that should be taken. Okay, the Trump administration took the same one. They had the same meetings, et cetera, and then they decided what they decided. Now, moving forward, we understand the spiritual battle around this is the enemy is using this to take control, take away freedoms, which starts making the United States and has started to make the United States look like Nazi Germany, where you're having freedoms being taken away simply because the state knows better than you and I, and they are the anointed and they can make these decisions. Okay, so you have this. This is a positive of what Fauci says. Now, depending on who he's talking to is depending on what he's going to say. Now, I want to play this next clip, and this is where we really need to watch our emotions and make sure we're understanding the spiritual battle. So when we understand that this is a spiritual battle, we understand that, look, there is the human being, their soul, and then there's a spirit that's operating really in front of them, and ultimately it is a believer stand, biblical standpoint of what we have here is that we want to believe for the soul of the person to be saved and for them to be healed and delivered and to get out of this. Now, the spiritual battle that they're in, whether that happens or not, that's up to God and that's up to the individual. But I do want to play this clip because this right here shows the double-mindedness. Now, The former clip that I showed from ABC where I asked about lockdowns, oh, we need to wait. That is a objective scientific standpoint. That is how science should be viewed. This statement is not. And so I want to play this. Let's understand that this is very emotional and will probably make your blood boil. But I think we have to discuss this and we have to understand this in dealing with this new scenario.
It seems another layer of danger to play politics around matters of life and death.
Exactly, exactly. And to me, that's unbelievably bad because all I want to do is save people's lives. I mean, anybody who's looking at this carefully realizes that there's a distinct anti-science.
Okay, I'm going to pause. I think he truly believes that. I think he truly believes that he is saving people's lives and I truly believe he wants to save people's lives. Now we can get into the undergirdings of how he was taught science and what he defines as science and things. And I'll get into that here in a second because he says some things that are very important. This isn't the first time he said this, but this is another time he said it. And both the right and the left are having their responses to this, but we want to give a biblical response to this. But I want him to continue to say what he's about to say because this is really, really important here about the mind frame and the spiritual battle that we have.
Flavor to this. So if they get up and criticize science, nobody's going to know what they're talking about. But if they get up and really aim their bullets at Tony Fauci, well, people could recognize there's a person there. So it's easy.
That's how you deal with the issues at hand. Is when those who are dictating what science should be doing, what a nation should be doing, you go to the direct people who are directing and navigating the arguments at hand here. He doesn't like it because he's the centerfold of this argument. And he's been put in the crosshairs. And before this, he laughed about it. And he had asked a question about somebody had said he needs to be held in contempt of Congress because he lied. And he talks about January 6th. He has this a nice cuckold of a laugh like Kamala Harris has. No humility whatsoever. Just I'm right and you're wrong.
To criticize, but they're really criticizing science.
So if they're criticizing me, they're criticizing science. Science is objective. It's not subjective. It's objective, meaning that it looks on the side of facts and it sides there. It's not based upon emotion. It's not based upon what you deem as what should be done. It's this is what the facts are, and we have to live with them.
Because I represent science.
I represent science.
That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. And if you damage science, you are doing something very detrimental to society.
You see, you notice how he says you. It's those who are coming and attacking him who are the problem. Again, a complete lack of humility, which I think is very revealing. No humility whatsoever. And Rand Paul had a response to this. And I think this is really the best, one of the best, simply put, arguments. He says, the absolute hubris of someone claiming they represent science, it's astounding and alarming that a public health bureaucrat would even think to claim such a thing, especially one who has worked so hard to ignore the science of natural immunity. Now, there's a whole host of arguments there. So I'm playing both sides of those arguments to show the double-mindedness that is within this current administration. And it's being led by the likes of Lord Fauci here. But before I give a prayer point, I want to point back to a similar scenario that happened. If you remember back to 2009, when there was the whole H1N1 swine flu debacle. And this, I'm going to call the right out on this a little bit, because if you remember back to this, Obama was presented with the same type of decision that President Trump was put in, the position to make, of whether to shut down international travel because of people getting swine flu and dying from it because of the adverse effects, not knowing what was happening. But I want to point this out very clearly. Obama did not decide to shut down the economy. But here's what actually happened. In the spring of 2009, scientists recognized a particular strain of swine flu known as H1N1, talked about what it is, where it came from during and this was during the 2009-2010 flu season. And then in August of 2010, WHO declared the pandemic over. Didn't shut down the country, didn't shut down the world, didn't go into this thing, this reality of where we're at, of being fearful of everything, of just get the vax because we say so. I point this out to show that this is a movement, this is a spirit that is behind this in this day and age. And since then till now, there has been a release of this anti-Christ spirit that has entered into the world to another level. So you're seeing the same scenario play out in the past and now where, look, this decision has been presented before and ultimately there was no fear of the Lord and the decisions that were made because of, quote unquote, the anointed, Lord Fauci deciding what should happen for America. So what we wanted in this situation coming up, because in the days ahead, if these reports are anything of accurate, that the Biden administration is going to look and see and determine what should happen. Obviously, you have some states who have already decided to shut down based upon zero cases. Some have even said that's the goal. Fauci has surprisingly said that we need to learn to live with COVID. That is a scientific argument. That is a correct argument analysis to make. Now, he then, depending on who he's talking to, will say something completely different. And so our prayer here needs to be repent for the Biden administration's double-mindedness, for everybody involved, and really intercede for the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit, more so, to come into the White House, open the eyes of the staffers, and for the Lord's enemies to be scattered. Because no matter what decision is made today, the staffers who will be the future leaders and future politicians in this nation need to see the ramification of these decisions, and ultimately they need to have the fear of the Lord moving on in the days ahead as they enter into these new positions, and can see the ramifications of these decisions that are going to be made. Who knows what decision will actually be made? There's an argument for, if you are sane and you're actually looking at the facts, one decision should be made. And if you're doing this for political reasons and you're listening to a one-sided argument and not looking at both sides, then another decision could be made. So no matter what decision is made, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would come in and open the eyes of those involved, because there is the prophetic word that we have, that we're standing on, that those who are in the enemy's camp will be healed, delivered, and saved, and stand on the side of righteousness and justice for the Lord in the days ahead. So we want to continue to stand on that. And then last thing I want to talk about is, this is a international issue, but it is very important to the welfare of this nation and Israel. The Iranian Brigadier General has, right before nuclear talks that are starting today in Vienna around the Iran nuclear deal, the UN, the US, and a couple other nations will be involved in this. But the Iranian Brigadier General come out and said, "We will not back off an annihilation of Israel, even one millimeter. We want to destroy Zionism in the world." The reason this is important is because the argument being made from Israel's standpoint of view and our standpoint of view as Americans is that Iran, and even at the foundings of this Iran nuclear deal, was not a good representation of preventing Iran from being able to make nuclear bombs, and thus for could potentially cause for damage to Israel, its allies, us, and could potentially have serious war consequences, rumors of wars, etc. Now, I want to say that and point this out, but understand this, is it's not necessarily the Iranian people themselves who want this and want the annihilation of Israel. But we do want to stand against this. We want to pray for the Biden administration and UN officials to stand up for Israel. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, Old Testament, New Testament there. But I want to point this out as well, is there, I want to read this quote that is in the Jerusalem Post. There is a Iranian dissident, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, who fled the Islamic Republic of Iran and now lives in Germany, told the Jerusalem Post that a normal Iranian government made by the Iranian people would basically, a democratic government, if there were to be a democratic government within Iran, this government would try to normalize ties with Israel. Very interesting. We could have great deals, which can help both nations. Israel water technology can help us pass a serious water problem in Iran, and Iranian government would try to exchange knowledge about environmental issues, especially water scarcity that we're facing right now. But the Islamic Republic, instead of solving all these problems, plans for the destruction of Israel and shoots people who ask for water. She goes on to add that this regime is ruining Iran and some other countries in the Middle East and makes the region a war zone. We have domestic problems, and our people never think of fighting other countries. They don't even know why they should hate Israel. Our people will be happy to use Israeli water technology instead of planning to destroy Israel. We must save our country from this evil regime and turn the occupied Iran to a free Iran. I say that to say is, just like in most other nations, the ruling class are different from the people. The ruling class does not make up the whole entire argument and mind frame of the people of that nation, and specifically in this case, the Iranian people. The argument here is that those within Iran actually want to build ties. And you're seeing this with the Abraham Accord deals that Trump made, is these younger generations who are less religious, don't have this bent view towards Israel, actually want to benefit economically from Israel, want to have these relations with Israel, to grow their economies, to have them all prosper. And that's a great mind frame. That's what should be stand for. There's plenty of money around the world. There's plenty of resources around the world for everyone to prosper. And so, but we want to point this out. I want to give that mind frame because we do want to stand against this regime and stand against this nuclear deal and stand against these talks, because we've talked about it before, continue to talk about it, that this deal does not even follow the basics of what it was intended to do, to monitor and watch Iran from being able to make nuclear centrifuges. And if you followed us for a while, you remember Barry Siegel, who we've had on. He's still continuing to follow this very closely. He says that Iran is at 60% enrichment, which is from a year ago, is very, very a fast progression from 20% to 60%, and from 60% to 100% is not a far step. So we want to intercede for this Biden administration to have the fear of the Lord and stand with Israel on the talks with Iran on the in the nuclear deal. That starts today and will go on this week. So I want to close on that. I know it's a lot, but we're back this week with the morning briefings. We'll do our noon prayers today online, and then tomorrow at Christian Center Shreveport for those in the Shreveport-Bossier area. This is a big week. This is a week that we continue to stand. If Americans and those who are in these positions of power have the fear of the Lord, then decisions will be made on the side of the Lord and for biblical moral values, not only for freedom to reign, but for us to get back to the destiny that God has for us in this nation, of being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And on the abortion issue, a decision that will have ramifications for life, and will also mean in the days ahead, look, adoption will have to be a big thing for the church. You can't disagree or disregard that and throw that out the window, because there is an issue at hand there. There is an argument to be made that the less make is well. If you stand for life, then you should stand for the whole life of the baby. There is an argument to be made that they're absolutely correct. And in the past, the pro-life movement has ignored that. But we're in the process of moving towards that. And that's something in the days ahead. That's where we need to be looking forward to. So I'll close on that. Bless each and every one of you. Hope you have great energy today as you get back to work, back to your life after Thanksgiving weekend. And we will see you guys later. Have a good one.